Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hello there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace. Today, we continue in our series entitled, Only a Heartbeat Away. This is part 6, and we're talking about the new heavens and the new earth. 1 year ago, almost to the day that I'm recording this podcast, my family and I relocated from the state of Georgia to Connecticut in order to be nearer to our family and our grandchildren. As soon as we drove into the neighborhood and into our new driveway to our new house, my son, my grown son, who was a young man, he has autism. He had a smile on his face and jumped out of the car, and we entered the house, and he's checking out every nook and cranny, and he's checking out his new living space. He has a new living space up on the second floor, and a really cool bedroom as well. And he couldn't have been more excited. And you know, I was thinking that one day we will all have similar feelings about the new heavens, the new earth, and our dwelling place in the new Jerusalem, the eternal city. We will no doubt remember our move-in day for the rest of all eternity. Amen. The Bible reveals that the present heavens and earth will one day pass away. Well, why will God destroy the present earth and heavens? We find the answer in the Genesis account, in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve rebelled, disobeyed. They sinned against God. And God, he subsequently placed a curse on the earth. And Romans 8:20 tells us the creation was subjected to futility. And commenting on this verse, John MacArthur says this, and I quote, "Decay, disease, pain, death, natural disaster, pollution, and all other forms of evil will never cease until the one who sent the curse removes it and creates a new heaven and a new earth." End quote. Before God's eternal kingdom can be manifest, Almighty God must remove all vestiges of sin and darkness from the previous creation. A world permeated by sin and darkness will give way to a world infused with holiness and light. This is what will happen when God creates new heavens and a new earth. Now, Satan has long carried out his evil schemes on this earth. The earth must therefore be purged of all the stains of his extended presence. The devil will have no place in the new heavens and the new earth. None. All evidence of his influence will be removed when God destroys the earth and the heavens. The destruction of the present heavens and earth is taught in both the Old and New Testaments, dear one. Psalm 102, for example, says of the passing of the old earth and heavens, "They will perish. They will all wear out like a garment. They will pass away." Isaiah 51, verse 6, likewise affirms, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment." Our Lord Jesus was well aware of this common Old Testament teaching, for he contrasted the temporal universe with his eternal word. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." We receive a much fuller revelation of the passing of the present heavens and the earth in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. He says the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and all the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. Praise God. Commenting on this passage, one Bible scholar notes, and I quote, that the Old Testament consistently teaches that the cosmos is a moral universe created by God, and that God will not let sin go unpunished forever. God is not only the creator of the universe, he is also the judge. The God who created the beginning of all things has the power to end them. End quote. Beloved one, the good news is that although this present universe, which is stained by sin, will be judged and destroyed, God will create new heavens and a new earth for us to dwell in forever. They'll be glorious. Hallelujah. If God will destroy the old heavens and create new heavens, one naturally wonders what heavens Scripture is referring to. The Bible actually refers to three different heavens. Three. The first and second heavens are the earth's atmosphere and the stellar universe. The third heaven is God's domain, his perfect dwelling place, as we find in Isaiah 63, verse 15. The Bible reveals that the only heavens that have been negatively affected by humankind's fall are the first and second heavens. The entire physical universe is running down and decaying. The third heaven, God's perfect and glorious dwelling place, remains untouched by human sin. It needs no renewal. This heaven subsists in moral and physical perfection and undergoes no change. So once the physical universe is cleansed and God creates new heavens and a new earth, all vestiges of the original curse and Satan's presence will be utterly and forever removed. There will be a massive environmental change. We will instantly transition from an environment of pain, suffering, darkness, death, to a new environment of God-focused blessedness and joy. Hallelujah. Now, many theologians believe that the term heaven, presently used of God's perfect domain, will one day come to embrace and include the new heavens and new earth. That means there will be a much wider meaning and a much larger territorial boundary for the third heaven. In other words, heaven will one day include the entire redeemed universe. We might say that heaven will include the entire resurrected universe. Hallelujah! This means that heaven and earth will no longer be separate realms as they are now. They will be forever merged. Isn't that amazing? Believers will continue to be in heaven even while they are on the new earth. The new earth will be utterly sinless, bathed and suffused in the light and splendor of God, which will not be obscured by evil or tarnished by evildoers. So the third heaven that presently exists, the heaven believers now go to when they die, is different from the heaven that we will dwell in for all eternity after God creates the new heavens and new earth. You see, there's going to be a terrestrial and celestial renovation. God will one day merge his own domain of heaven with a newly renovated universe. And this newly renovated universe will be the eternal dwelling of believers from all ages. It will be perfect. It'll be glorious. In fact, the human brain is incapable of imagining this splendor of this new renovation. And in that day, the prophecy of Isaiah 65:17 will be fulfilled. Isaiah writes, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." Hallelujah. Indeed. As Psalm 9, verse 6 puts it, "The wicked will come to an end, and the very memory of them will perish." And this is what John describes in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" Oh, dear brother, dear sister, we have such a cause to rejoice. We are destined for new heavens and a new earth. Now, Christians through the centuries have debated what Scripture means when it says the earth and heavens will be made new. I mean, will God utterly annihilate the present universe and then create a brand new universe? Or will he simply purify and renew the present universe? Well, highly respected Christians are on both sides of this debate here. Theologians call the first view the replacement view. And this view holds that God will destroy our present universe and then create a new, perfect, and sinless universe. So advocates of this view like to cite Revelation 21, verses 1 and 4, where we are told that the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The former things have passed away. But yet other theologians counter this by saying that such phrases could easily apply to the renewal view. I mean, after all, Christians themselves are viewed as new creations, in which the old has passed away, as we see in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Phrases that seem to point to their spiritual renewal, not their replacement. So the renewal view states that the new heavens and new earth will be the present universe, but cleansed and purified of all evil, sin, suffering, and death. They say the new cosmos will stand in continuity with the present cosmos, but it will be utterly renewed and renovated. The universe will be transformed and perfected and purged of all that is not in keeping with eternal life. Proponents of the replacement view rebut that 2 Peter 3 verses 10 through 12 explicitly states that the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. The heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. That is the scripture. Some scholars prefer to say that our present universe will be resurrected, just as our physical bodies will one day be resurrected. So the idea here is that at the resurrection, we do not receive different bodies in place of our present bodies. Rather, our present bodies are resurrected so that there is a continuity between our earthly bodies and resurrection bodies. It's suggested that the same will be true with the universe. It will be resurrected, thus having some continuity with the old heavens and earth. Just as our human bodies experience redemption, so the universe as a whole will experience redemption. And they cite Isaiah 65, Ezekiel 28, Matthew 19, and Acts chapter 3. Randy Alcorn makes a really, really good point in this regard. He suggests that we pay careful attention to the words we find throughout the Bible. Reconcile, redeem, restore, recover, return, renew, regenerate, resurrect. Each of these biblical words begins with the RE prefix, re, suggesting a return to an original condition that was ruined or lost. Theologians, again, suggest that as many of Jesus' miracles involved restoration, such as restoration of health or even life, so God's renewal of the universe will involve restoration instead of replacement. Pretty interesting, huh? So if this view is correct, perhaps the dissolving by fire mentioned in 2 Peter is a metaphorical reference to the renewal process in which God removes the stain of evil and restores perfection. This is much like fire burning the dross out of iron. Amen? So whether you hold to the replacement view or the renewal view, loved one, the important point is that our earth will one day be perfectly and wondrously adapted to the vast moral and physical changes that the eternal state brings. Everything, I mean everything, will be new in the eternal state. Everything will be according to God's own glorious nature. The new heavens and new earth will be brought into blessed conformity with all that God is, in a state of fixed bliss. An absolute perfection. Now here's something to think about, dear one. Even our present earth has beautiful panoramas that just stagger the senses, right? Glorious sunrises defy description. On some days, our weather here is so perfect that it feels like the Garden of Eden outside. And as wonderful as all this is, it dims in comparison to the glory of the coming new earth. I can't wait. How about you? Oh, dear friend, it gets even better. Scripture reveals that in the new heavens and the new earth, believers will share in the glory of Christ. Colossians 3:4 tells us, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. This does not mean that you and I will become deity. No, no, no. However, like Jesus Christ, you and I will share in God's glory with glorious resurrection bodies and shining robes of immortality, incorruption, and splendor. And we will live in perfect glorious harmony and a glorious environment. How awesome is that? Hallelujah. In Revelation 21, verse 6, God victoriously pronounces, "It is done." This is a statement of divine finality. It represents a promise from God, from Almighty God, that what he has created for redeemed humanity's eternal state will indeed last forever and ever. Just as Jesus himself uttered, "It is finished," when he completed his redemptive work on the cross. So now, God affirms that salvation for the redeemed of all ages has come to full fruition in the eternal state. All is now complete. Hallelujah. Never again will sin, Satan, or suffering surface among the redeemed. No, now all is glorious in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray, dear one. Abba, Father, you, Lord, are the creator of all things and are therefore worthy of worship. We are full of gratitude that one day, as the creator, you will create a new heavens and a new earth as our eternal habitation. We are so grateful that all traces of sin and Satan will be forever removed, never again to injure us. We are thankful beyond words that one day we will have resurrection bodies and dwell in a resurrected universe. Oh, you are an awesome God. And we love you and praise you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I hope this podcast was a blessing to you. It sure was to me, dear one. I'm learning as I'm teaching. I just love the Word of God. And I'm so thankful that you listened. And if you would, please do me a small favor and go to Apple Podcasts or whatever platform you listen to. But for me, it's Apple. And if you would go to your platform, go to the Your Place of Grace podcast with Anthony Sluzis page and scroll down to wherever you need to rate our podcast. Please do give us 5 stars if you'd be so inclined. And write us a nice review. Make it nice. Thank you. I do appreciate that. Your reviews and your 5-star ratings will bring more eyeballs and more ears to our podcast. And we want to reach more and more people around this world with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what gospel means, good news. And with Jesus, it's always good news. Amen? Amen. Once again, check us out at yourplaceofgrace.com. And pastors, please do pray about inviting me to come and to minister at your church and your community. You won't be disappointed. God is doing great and mighty things in our services. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Thank you all. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may he always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May he give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor, and blessing everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzis. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.